Because of my passion for online entrepreneurship and in believing the impact we can make if we can all discover our purpose and do what we love, the Passion and Purpose podcast was born. I hope to share more inspiring adventures with you, along with the people who have been there and done that. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming here in the Passion and Purpose podcast once again. And I have a very special guest, and she's from Florida, USA. She is Bonnie Hardy, and she is a mindset and gratitude coach. And as what I've said earlier, she's based in Central Florida in the US. And she shows people how to reframe negatives into positives, plus appreciate what they do have while not dwelling on what they don't have. Of course, we really do need a lot of that right now. And she is also contributing author in Amazon best-selling book, 365 Days of Gratitude, which is I am very much excited to talk about later on. So Bonnie, good evening. Thank you so much for being here at the Passion and Purpose podcast. How are you today?
Hi, Roche. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here. Nice to meet you and talk to you. And I'm ready to go. Let's talk about gratitude, mindset, whatever you want to talk about today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. But first, is there something else that you want to, you know, share to the audience? Something that I did not read about you, something that they don't know about your business, why you became a mindset coach and, you know, everything?
Well, I own Rock Solid Mindset and Gratitude Coaching. As you said, I'm based in Central Florida, and I just like to be a positive person and show people how to reframe their negatives into positives. And I want to have everybody just, you know, last year was kind of a crazy year, and I want everybody to kind of get over everything and start looking to the future. Things are getting much better. Just always find things to be grateful for every day. Wake up and find 5 or 10 things every morning to be grateful for. And if stuff's not going on too good, that's fine. Get over it. You know, eventually everything's going to get much better. One of my mantras is rock bottom to rock solid. I also like to say make dreams happen. I also like to say I'm unbreakable, unbreakable Bonnie. So, you know, I have a lot of little like things that I like to say to people and things like that.
I like the unbreakable Bonnie.
I like the alliteration with the breakable and Bonnie. I had to put the unbreakable in there and stuff. So, and I have like a little mantra for mindset. Like a meme, like using the first letters of the word mindset. Mindset is knowledge during setbacks. Everything is terrific.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure one out for gratitude. I have a little bit of it written, but I got to make it all flow and stuff. So I'm working on that. I gotta send it to some people and get some ideas. So like that, right. Mindset is knowledge during setbacks. Everything is terrific. That's what you should always think about.
Everything is terrific. I like it. All right. Now, Bonnie, how did you start being a mindset coach? I mean, mindset and gratitude coach. Why that niche, and what made you decide to become one?
Well, I used to be a virtual assistant. And then I had quite a few clients, different countries and stuff. And then I kind of wanted more. So I ended up becoming a business coach. So I thought that was really cool. I showed people how to start their own business and things like that. But then last year, I started doing that right at the very beginning of last year. And then the pandemic hit, and it made me have to pivot my business, I think, 5 or 6 different times. You know, so I had to keep switching things up because, exactly, you know, where I live in Central Florida, Disney World closed down, the cruise ships closed down, everybody lost their business. And I didn't feel right having a business out there offering a program out there offering for $1,000 to help you get your own business in 12 weeks. So I pulled my offer off. And part of what I was doing with my offer was to go to local businesses and be like a business consultant, helping them to grow their business. Well, pandemic hit and everybody had to close down. So there's no businesses there. And I also had another thing where I was doing, I was going to be start doing networking events with other businesses. Well, pandemic hit, now you can't get together with anybody. So it's like I had to pivot like 5 or 6 times. And I started getting into the mindset because I'm really into the mindset. So I was doing like mindset and business coaching, and it was 2 different things I was doing. And it was kind of hard to kind of marry the both on occasion and stuff. And then I started getting really, really more into gratitude. And I had people say, you know, you really know about the mindset thing. You really know about gratitude and everything. So I recently, just within like the last 2 weeks, decided to rebrand my business. And I still do business coaching if people want it. But my main focus right now is gratitude and mindset coaching. So we changed everything. I'm working on getting a new logo. I'm getting a website pretty soon. And and mailing lists and everything like that. And as we said, I am a contributing author and an Amazon best-selling book, 365 Days of Gratitude. So I also I'm a contributing author and another book coming out probably next week, by the end of this month, that's also going to be on an Amazon bestseller. It's talking about how COVID affected my business. You get to learn a little more how I had to switch, you know. So I'm working on writing my own book right now. I'm journaling different things that are going on. So I'm really just getting myself out there, getting on podcasts, letting people know, doing local stuff, people locally, do vision board workshops. I did a vision board workshop with a friend last year. We had people from like 4 or 5 different countries join. I did one-on-one vision board workshop. So I'm really just getting myself out there and doing a lot of different things, mainly in the realm of mindset and gratitude, and also personal development too.
Wow, that's amazing. I used to be a virtual assistant too, and that's where I started back in 2013. And then I said to myself that my passion is into finding your path, finding your passion and your purpose. And so I became a business development coach, but my message is still there, the passion and the purpose. And that's why the Passion and Purpose podcast was born. Now, Bonnie, when you said mindset and gratitude coach, what do you normally do? I know that, you know, mindset, you said, and business is kind of hard to marry, you know, each other. And it's without the proper mindset, you can't start a good business. Right. It will be hard for you to start something, even a relationship or whatever kind of, you know, commitment that you need to start with. So, how do you encourage people to switch their mindset from something that needs to be improved on to a powerful mindset that is ready to take on the world?
Well, what we do is some people that I've talked to have had problems with, you know, depression and anxiety, and they're afraid to like go out and meet people and talk to people. So we kind of dig deep a little bit, go into their background. I'm not like a psychologist, psychiatrist, but I kind of, you know, we have a saying called peel the onion, ask different questions and stuff. Well, you know, we don't want to get too deep with people until you get to know them a lot better and stuff. But you want to kind of see, well, why are you afraid to get out there? Why do you, I mean, you got to kind of worry about what people think about you, but then to a point, they're not putting food on your table, then you can only do so much. But get yourself out there, because if people don't know what you can do, they don't know what you can do. And I tell people, and I've done it myself, I've done posts where I call it big me up posts, where you tell people what it is you've done, your accomplishments. Because if I don't know, I can't do anything about it. But if I go out there right now and say, hey, I've done this, and you know, oh my God, you know, I overcame doing this, and some people have overcome all sorts of crazy things. So it's like, go back and think of all your accomplishments and stuff. And then when you get down, read that. You know, did you help other people do something? And did you lose 30 pounds when you wanted to lose 20 pounds? Are you eating better? Are you, you know, do your nieces and nephews say you're the greatest aunt or uncle in the whole wide world and stuff like that? You know, so different things like that. Once you get them to change your mindset, thinking more positive, that's awesome. Yeah, that's what people need, especially now in the world, things are crazy all over. It's getting better, but just look for the positive. It's kind of trite to say, look for the good, look for, when you go out on a walk, look for, you know, a brand new flower that's popped up, but look for the clouds and see if the clouds are in an animal or something like that. But people don't always think to do that. So if I have you for 5 or 10 minutes every morning thinking about positive stuff, that's going to change your whole day.
Wow. So how do you do the coaching? Is that on a once a week basis, every day?
It depends on the person and what they want. I have a program out now called Master Your Mind, Master 2021, where we'll have a few calls together. And like after each call, like 3 calls in about 6 weeks time frame. And after each call, we'll get a action plan. We'll see how the week's been, what they're looking for in the next week. We'll get an action plan of different things they want to do. And it could be business related stuff. It's like, hey, you want to start a business, you need to do this, this, and this for the business. You know, and every day I want you to private message me something good that happened that day. And in the morning, private message me what you want to do for the day. And at night, let me know what you've done that day. And if you don't fulfill everything on your to-do list, it's not a big deal. Something's that came up. If you every single day you don't fulfill, then we have to have a chat. You know, but it's like, you're coming to me to help for me to help you with your mindset and your gratitude. So let's, we got to do this. So don't be pussyfooting around. Let's do it. You know, if your coach tells you to do something, do it. They know what they're doing and you're paying them to help you do that. So you need to listen.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. No spanking if we don't do our homeworks.
Right.
Well, that's very interesting because people go to you to, you know, help them fix their mindset. Is that right. Only on business or also in relationship or also in other topics?
It's just about any topic you want. There's a lot of different things people want to talk about. You know, if you do want to work on your mindset to help you with your relationship, we can do that. It's kind of I bespoke my program to the person. This person might want more help with starting a business, with their mindset. This person wants more help with helping with their personal development. So whatever this they want, I tailor what I do to them to help them be the best, because obviously I want them to give me, you know, referrals and testimonials and stuff like that. So I will, so you tell me what you want and I'll tell you how I can help you do that.
Wow. Tell me about your book, Bonnie, because you have this book, 365 Days of Gratitude. Maybe they want to hear what's in there and how can people turn those negatives into 365 Days of Gratitude?
Okay. Well, this book, I'm a contributing author in this book, 365 Days of Gratitude. Everybody had 200 words to write about a period in their time when they were grateful. And everybody wrote about something different. It's like each person has a different day. So my day is in March. I believe it's March 26th. So, my title to my chapter is Rock Bottom to Rock Solid. And I wrote about a time a few years ago when I was homeless. So even though I was homeless, I was able to still show gratitude. So it kind of starts off sad. Oh my God, this happened here and I was homeless, but then it gets better towards the end. So, so you know, and it is on Amazon. It's available all over. And if you live in the United States, I can send it to you and I'll autograph it for you. So I'll put all the links to everything in on YouTube and everything on that. So we'll have all that. But I'm very excited that I'm an Amazon best-selling author. It came out last December. So I ended 2020 as an Amazon best-selling author. My sister bought 3 books. She gave one to my nephew. She's got one, and my mom got one. So my mom was one of the first people that got to read it. So she thought it was really cool. So it's like, hey, you know. And other people have said they're going to buy it. And I just a few days ago sent out my first autographed copy of the book. So I'm looking to do more. I'm thinking of maybe having seminars and webinars and stuff and talking about this and selling the book then and autographing it and doing pictures and stuff like that. I have a lot of different things I want to do this year. Just kind of depends on how much travel and stuff you're allowed to do and stuff. If I stay in the United States, I'll be okay. Next year is going to be international, but we'll see how that works. So I'm looking into really getting my name out there with this book and other things like that and just being known as, you know, I want to be known as a gratitude guru. That's a hashtag I'm going to start using. Gratitude guru.
I like that one. Gratitude guru. Because right. Especially with the pandemic hitting, you know, globally in just less than 2 years, it's really changed the way that people behave, right. Changed the market. It changed the businesses. A lot of, you know, businesses are really very down right now, and we all need something that, you know, to turn that negative experience into something positive and find that, you know, that something that we should all be thankful for despite of what's happening right now in the world. What are your experience, Bonnie, with the people that you are coaching with? What are the normal problems that they share with you that you think needed some improvement or that needed some mindset tweak so that they would understand that the world is a lot better, you know, if everybody is, everybody is thankful for, you know, just little things that they can see around?
Well, some people have maybe from their childhood, they were told by family members they're like too loud and it's like quiet yourself down. So now as they're an adult, they don't want to get out there and do stuff because they think people are judging them. And, you know, yes, people are going to judge you, but just let them judge you. They don't know your whole story and everybody's different. I try really hard with people, even if I meet people who, you know, always complaining about every little thing and aren't happy with anything. I try to understand why they're like that, you know, because sometimes people think everybody's just against them. So they're very, very defensive. And you have to break those walls down with them and say, it's like a vicious cycle. If I'm rude to you, you might be rude back to me. Then that's going to prove to me that I need to be rude to people. Well, no, if I'm not, if I change, start changing how I am, I start being nice to people, people will, you know, be nice back to you. So it's like, you just start changing little things and just start showing, showing people how you can be nice and stuff like that. It's like sometimes in this world, it's crazy, but I'm really looking, it's looking better. And I'm looking to see more people be nicer to each other and reach out. And it's like, hey, you know, do you want me to buy you a soda? You know, I've seen, like, you know, you go to the drive-thru at McDonald's and you say, I'm paying for the person behind me. Like, wow. Now, sometimes they might have bought like $40 worth of McDonald's, so you could be in a whole lot of trouble. Or they might just buy an ice cream for a dollar. But, and or you go to like a Panera Bread and say, here's $10 for the next several people that come in, get them a bagel or something like that. So it's just little things like that that add up. So that's what I work on with people to see, peel the onion, go back and see why they act like they do and start slowly changing them around. You're not going to change anybody overnight, but start just slowly changing them, and then their outlook's going to change, and they're going to be, oh, wow, cool, you know?
Yes. How long does this coaching normally happen? And then what are the, what do you call it, transformations that you saw, for example, in one of your best clients?
Well, it kind of varies. You can make a big difference in a month, or it might take 6 months. You never know. It's the person too. You know, it's both of us working together. I had one client recently when I started working with her. She was depressed and anxious and always stayed inside where she lived. She wasn't happy where she lived, and she didn't want to get out and do anything. And so we started working together, and I was like, you know, when you do go out, and I said, you need to start going out. You know, just drive down to the library for half an hour a day. Every day when you wake up, start thinking about five to 10 things you're grateful for. And when you go out, say hi to people. And, you know, we talk on a weekly basis. And within, I want to say about 3 months, she was talking to me about opening up her own consignment shop in the city where she lived. So she was going to go and get, you know, things that she needed for that. And so from her going to not really wanting to leave her room every day, to within just a few months wanting to open a consignment shop, was like massive transformation. So I thought that was I thought that was really killer. So that's really good. We worked on the mindset and everything, and I helped her with how to be less anxious and not to be so depressed and stuff. I gave her little tips to make her mood better and stuff like that. So I was like, well, that was pretty cool. So I like that, you know. So it's just getting yourself out there and just be more positive. And she starts like, you know, how could this be any better? Like, how can it get any better? You know, one day she just rattled off like 40 things she was grateful for. I'm like, that is awesome. And at first she didn't even want to talk to me through video. We talked through phone. And then by the end, she like downloaded her Zoom and her Facebook video and everything. And we were setting up to talk on video. So like, wow, that's a pretty big transformation right there. So I like that one.
That's very nice. You said earlier that sometimes you have to go back, you know, to when you were young and what happened and, you know, why you were sad or lonely or anxious about, right, you know, things in life. I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents would tell me I was too loud, just exactly how you said it earlier. Good thing right now I'm still loud. And I didn't get that, you know, I'm not shy, I'm still loud. But for those people who were really affected by a certain trauma or a certain experience when they were kids, how are you trying to pull them out of that, you know, that loneliness, that anxiety?
I'm just trying to, you know, with people kind of go back and see, well, you know, what happened in your background, who said different things to you. And it's not always the other person's fault or perception. I was actually, when I was growing up, I was extremely shy, and I still have my times where I give me a book and I can sit in the corner and read for hours. I don't need much of anything. I just need a comfortable bed, a bathroom, and a book and Wi-Fi, and I'm happy. I don't need anything else. And I was totally a bookworm. And sometimes I got to the point where people like, well, forget about me. And it's like, there's times I don't want to draw any attention on myself. And other times I want people to say, hey, don't forget about me. I'm still right here and stuff like that. So that's why some people are kind of shocked. And I'm say, hey, I was interviewed over here. And, hey, I'm doing this 365 days of gratitude. Hey, later on this year, I want to tour the United States in an RV that I – in a van that I made into an RV that I can live in it. And I want to give speeches at different places, talk to, you know, women's group and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and the Rotary and stuff like that. Like, oh, my God. So you can – you can change, you know, people say stuff and it's not, and sometimes some of their perception on things. Some people, they're like, they don't like you being too loud because you're overshadowing them. It's like, you know, and they, oh, okay, well, you're overshadowing me. So I don't like that. So I'm going to talk you down. Well, if they want to be like that, then they can be like that. But it's like, you do you, I do me, whatever makes me happy. So you can definitely change how you are and stuff. And people say you're too loud. And sometimes I've seen people affect them subconsciously, even, you know, 30, 40 years later, and they're not wanting to get out and do stuff because it was somebody said to them, family member, like 40 years ago. It's like, you gotta start getting over that now and just not worry about what people are saying. You know, there's just as many people saying and thinking good stuff about you too, as the kind of saying, oh, you're too loud or too this or too that. So just do what you want to do, to do what makes you happy. That's what I say. Do what makes you happy. If people don't like it, well, that's okay. You know?
Wow. That's very nice. And what about those people who wanted to start a business, but they're having a hard time, you know, finding that courage for right. them to start, especially if they're in a relationship that is not, how should I say it, not conducive for entrepreneurs like us, what can you tell them if they're feeling, you know, a bit scared, or they're feeling, you know, not ready because they're just doubting themselves?
I tell them, you know, just do it. Figure out your zone of genius and your passions. What do you love to do? What is your most favorite thing? I've seen people start businesses doing so many different things, and you don't even have to go out of your house to do some stuff. Right now with the internet, you can do so many things. People, they'll get free books from the library, the courtesy collection, and they'll turn around and they'll flip that on eBay, you know, and they sell books like that. So you make a little bit of money here, and then you can just stay in your neighborhood if you want to be like an organizer in your neighborhood or something like that. If your significant other isn't like totally supportive, kind of, you know, let them know how this is going to help. You know, you'll be bringing more money into the business. It'll make you feel more confident. And bring in your significant other in to help you. Say, hey, you know, do you want to help me figure this out? Hey, you know, we have, if you're flipping books on eBay, you want to help me take pictures of all the books and look up the descriptions. If you bring them into it, then they have a piece of the pie. You know, their hands are in the business, and they can see that it's making you happier, that it's bringing in money, that it's showing you how to work a business, give you business techniques and tips like that, and business skills. It's helping your skills and working on their skills too. So just say, this is going to help us in the end. So just support me. Most times a spouse will support you when you do that.
Yeah. And they feel that they are part of the business. So right. they would really support you for that.
Right.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Because not everybody, especially if you're a business owner, not everybody is ready, you know, to right. take the action. I'm going to do this. Not everybody's right. like that. In fact, most business owners start that they have doubt in themselves. They have doubt. They have fears, and right. they have fears, you know, and once we're there, we'll just, you know, find a way how to, you know, make it work, because there's nothing else we can, you know, there's no other direction we can go but move forward. We can't go back. Right.
That's
and
right.
it's really not easy to, you know, push someone, especially if that someone is not too, what do you call it, welcoming in terms of advice. Have you ever encountered some clients that are not welcoming your advice, or they're not doing as you're telling them to do? They're not doing their homeworks?
That's happened. But usually when it happens, it doesn't happen for a very long time. They just might have had like a really bad week and things like that. So, you know, we talk about what happened. I let them get it out. I give them, you know, tips or techniques how to go about it. If you have sometimes you have somebody else in your life that's just making you miserable, you just have to like talk about it and stuff like that. And I've had people in my life that make me miserable. And finally, I'm like, look, I just got to do something. It's maybe a drastic move. Maybe other people wouldn't do it. But if I need to do this to make me happy, that's what I have to do. So it's like, you might need to make a drastic move, but you got to make yourself happy, because if you're not happy, your life isn't, you know, you just want to get out there and be happy. And you want to make other people happy too, because if you see a whole bunch of people being unhappy, if you can be like that spark and say, hey, you know, let me go online and see what Bonnie's posting about today. Maybe she's posting about her kittens, or maybe she's posting about the sunny weather in Florida, or maybe she's, you know, okay, I really like seeing that and stuff like that. Because I try to post a lot of different crazy things on Facebook. I don't just only post business. Sometimes I go too long before I post about business, so I need to make sure I do that so people know what I do so I can get more clients and stuff like that. But it's like, you just got to be the spark for other people, things like that.
Yeah. What is the craziest advice that you give to people? I mean, the most drastic one, and they did it anyway.
I have to kind of think about that. I mean, I personally have done crazy things and stuff like that. However, I am kind of a little bit more conservative with clients for a while until we kind of see if they end up needing to be really drastic and stuff like that. So you just kind of, sometimes it's just like, hey, get out every single day and, you know, drive your car 1 mile every day and go sit out, even if you just go sit to a park for an hour. I've never done that. Well, sit out at the park and look at the birds and watch people walk by. Be a people watcher or something like that. See other types of people that are out there and stuff. So, you know, just little things like that.
Yeah, sometimes we really have to take some time to appreciate the things around us. I also right. normally do that. You know, just go out there, just look around, look at the people reading newspapers at the park, look at the lovers, you know, hand-holding while walking, and look at how people are drinking their coffee. You know, I'm the, what do you call it, hopeless romantic type, that I always take time to enjoy everything. And it's really good that if we are doing that, that means we're taking it slow at times, because the world is like, you know, turning very fast. Everything is turning very fast, right? Like, we don't have enough time to appreciate the things that are happening around us. Even the smallest thing, even if you know, just having a, let's say, a nice breakfast for today, you know, or if your husband cooked something for you, or just you saw a beautiful flower when you wake up in the morning. It's really something that we should be, you know, all grateful for. And in business, it's really not easy, especially what's happening right now. Do you have any other clients that really was into, you know, in too deep into depression and anxiety, that, you know, you were able to pull out, you know, pull them out of that darkness? And then what happened when you know, you experienced that?
Yeah, I had a client that was really totally miserable with where she was at, and couldn't stand the people she was living with, and just ended up being really crying all the time and stuff like that. And, you know, we talked, and I said, you know, you might have to do something really, really crazy to make yourself happy. And what they ended up doing was, they were so miserable at their house where they were living constantly, was they ended up moving out of that house, and they ended up being homeless for a while. But that it made them happier, to even though, because they were so miserable, it was making their mindset bad. So it's not, you don't want to be homeless, but it made them be able to be out, like out and about, and see people all the time. They were stuck in their room. They couldn't really go anywhere, because what kind of where they were living was off the beaten path, and it was hard to get out and do anything. So they only had the four walls to look at, you know. So that got crazy. So said, let's just do this. Let's move out. Save as much money as you can to eventually, you know, get a hotel room and stuff. Hopefully only be homeless for no more than a month or two, maybe even less time than that. But then they're out and about now and resilient, and figured out how to get storage, get a gym membership, take a shower, then they can work out now. So that's a double whammy. You know, you're getting a shower every day, but you're also getting a workout every day. Get a bus pass, and then they're paying for a monthly bus pass, and they can go on the bus every single day. So it's not like, you know, and then get out and see all the different places. So it's like, okay, let's do this. So it was done. So we'll see where that takes everybody and stuff like that in the next month or two. So there'll be an update on that and as we go along. So, like, yeah, let's do that. So That's the most drastic example I have of anything.
Wow. To get out of a house so comfortable and live on the street, I like your advice. Get a gym membership so you can have a free shower. It's a good advice because it will give the person the sense of decency, a sense of pride that they were able to, you know, take a decent shower, even though they don't have, you know, what they can call a home. But for somebody, for you to, what do you call it, to advise that to somebody that is comfortably living at home to get out, just to, you know, have that peace of mind and to have that ownership of their lives to take action that is so drastic. Wow. That is that is unbelievable.
That's crazy. And I don't want anybody to think that I'd be suggesting that to just about anybody and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's somebody without a house and be homeless. However, the situation at the house was really a toxic environment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of arguing and things going on and people were afraid to say stuff and all that kind of stuff. So in that situation, weighing the good and the bad, it's better to just go out, not have to worry about paying rent, take that money you would have paid for rent and other stuff and put it towards something else. So it's going to work. We're going to make everything work.
Yes, I understand. No worries. I was going to ask earlier, while you were talking, I had this epiphany when I was a child, that when I was growing up, I stopped going to school because I had to take care of my little sister because my mom has to work and you know how things.
Yeah.
And then when I see a little girl right now that's holding a child, I always remember myself when I'm going back to that particular time when I'm holding my little sister. I'm 7 years old and my sister was less than 6 months. And I was telling myself, I am so thankful that I did not accidentally kill my sister, because I can remember I was playing outside with the kids and I was bringing my little sister with me. And that is something that whenever I see, you know, other kids doing, it breaks my heart because I know how it feels. And I know that there is no power in this world that will take care of that little baby, you know.
Right.
And for a parent, for somebody that doesn't have the power to take care of their kids, that is not something that you can accept properly.
Right.
Do you have any other experience, like parents who have experiences like that and they regret it so much? And how do you think, how did they get out of that? What are their experiences?
I really can't say as I've had any experiences with that. But I know eventually as I go on and getting a lot of different types of clients, I'm going to have a lot of like case studies that I'll be able to use in my coaching and testimonials and say, hey, you know, this person was like this for a while and at a certain amount of time they were doing this. So, you know, it's cool to have a lot of different types of clients, because then you get to work with a lot of different types of people and you might eventually say, maybe I want to specialize in just totally this type of client, of what they've had in their background. Maybe this is the type of background that I really like to work with and stuff like that. That'll be my specialty. It's like, you know, a doctor can specialize in, you got internal medicine, but then you might have a surgeon, but then the surgeon might be an orthopedic surgeon, but then he might mainly do like knee and hip replacements. So you got to like narrow it down, but don't want to go too narrow, but eventually, but I'd be like, hey, these are the type of people I like to work with the most. So that's what I'm looking at doing too.
So you work with mostly business owners or parents?
I can work with just about anybody. Kind of depending on what it is, you know, they're looking for. If they need help with business, since I used to be a virtual assistant, I can help them kind of get started with certain things. I'm a little more of the creative type than the technical type. So I can help more with creativity, coming up with, you know, business names and how to get their name out there and how to promote themselves and things like that. And, you know, if they have trouble in their relationship, I'm not in a relationship right now, so I'm not sure how I'll be real good on a relationship coaching thing, but I know plenty of people have a relationship and I talk to them about it, so I might be able to sometimes it might be better to talk to somebody who's not in a relationship to help you with their relationship. So it depends on people that contact me. I'll kind of, we'll have a call and I'll talk to them. We'll see exactly what they need, if I can help them. If I think they're going to be a good client, they're not going to do any work or anything like that. I'm not going to take them on as a client. You know, I don't want to take anybody's money and have them just sit there and not do anything, because then that'll not work for either one of us. So I will talk to them and make sure they're going to be a good client, see what it is they need, how much time they need, and, you know, what kind of things they need to do to get to the life that they need to live.
So it's really coming from the clients on what their problems are, what are the things that they wanted fixing or improving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And mostly the approach is really how you appreciate the things that you have, so that you will not be too grumpy.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I want to work with people who, I mean, a lot of people, they know that they need to appreciate, but they just don't. They need somebody to show them the way to appreciate stuff. You know, you take a walk out, just look at, oh, pretty flower and stuff like that. You start appreciating the little things, then you can start appreciating the bigger things. And sometimes don't worry about little certain things that are going on in the world. If you can't do anything about it, then don't worry as much about it. Just let other people deal with that, and then you worry about you, how you can help yourself and the people around you. Because you want to be surrounded with people. What's that saying? You want to be surrounded by eagles, not by turkeys, or something like that. You want to be surrounded by people that are going to be happy and support you. And if you need to talk, I've got friends that sometimes I just need to say, hey, look, I need to be your friend. And stuff's happening. I'm like crying on calls with them. And I know they're going to not judge me. You just need to have people around you that are, that, you know, sometimes you have to talk tough, and, you know, and say, and practice tough love. And sometimes you say, I just need to cry right now. And the next week we'll get going into it. So kind of varies on, you know, what they need at that time. If they're upset about something, I'm not going to be practicing tough love. I'm going to get them through that. And then, okay, next week, we got to really get going. These are your action plans for next week. So, you know.
That's nice. Don't you get those negative energies, especially if they're too anxious, too depressed? Don't you feel that the burden is being passed on to you?
Yeah, sometimes I do. But I try to not let it get going on me too much and stuff. I'll try to be empathetic and see where they're coming from. You know, because some people say, well, you should do this and you should do that and you shouldn't feel this way. It's like, well, if you're in my position, you might just. And even if you wouldn't feel that way, that's the way I feel based on what I've been going through. So just be, you know, understanding of them and try to help them look for it in a different way. Twist it around to be positive. So they can say, oh, okay, I didn't really think about it that way, but cool, you know.
Because it's not, you know, easy to be around somebody that always sees the negative things. For example, when you get out there and there's traffic, he blames the traffic, and then he blames the policeman, and then he blames, you know, just about everything. Because if our eyes is like that, it's always looking about the negative things that are happening around us, I think nobody would want to get around you.
Right. And then that's just going to make everything worse, because if you're always being negative, nobody wants to be your friend. But now you're being negative because you have no friends. It's like, why don't you for 1 week do it this way and see what happens? And then if they're still not seeing any friends after 1 week, we might need to do more work. But if you, for 1 week, you start being more positive around the people you're around, you're going to notice a change, because people notice a change in me, like, oh, you seem more confident, you're this and that and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah, you know, I'm only... I mean, you got to worry about people because they got like the like, know, and trust factor. If they don't like you or trust you or whatever, they're not going to do business with you. But to the point, unless you're helping me monetarily or accommodation-wise or something like that, I only need to listen so much to you because you don't know the whole story. Once people know more of the story about what's going on, they're like, oh, okay. So you can't always worry about what other people are doing and thinking because they don't know your whole story. But it's like, well, if you ask me what's going on, I'll tell you, but I'm not going to just go out there and start putting all my personal info on Facebook and stuff like that. Everybody be giving me advice and stuff or saying stuff. It's like, let me just tell you what's going on. And then, you know, I don't know if people think you're, you know, crazy things or whatever, but it's like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I'm doing to deal with it. And this is how it's going to be for a while. Okay. I'm just, you know, whatever.
That's right. So what do you do for people that doesn't open up? I mean, not all of the people are already willing to pour their heart out. So what do you do with them?
Yeah, you know, I'm empathetic when that happens because I'm that way. I'm a very private person, and sometimes stuff has happened. I've only told like one or two people, you know, or maybe I'll tell people, but there's only a few people that to know the deeper part of what happened and stuff. So it's like, look, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help you. And it's not like I'm going to be going around and saying anything. If I do with anybody, be just general terms, maybe with my own personal coach, I'll say, I've got this client, this is their background and whatever. So she can help me help them. It's not like I'm going to be going on Facebook and saying, oh, this person said this, this, and this, because that's not ethical or moral. So I was just talking kind of general terms in the case study, not use any names or locations. Or if I use a name, it's like,
yeah,
Mary, you know, not their real name, did this or whatever, you know. But I just say, hey, look, you got to, if you want me to help you, you're paying me to help you get through this. So you've got to open up to me and let me know what's going on so that I can know how to help you. Because I can't help you if you don't tell me. So that's part of my problem, too. I'm just too private sometimes. People don't know what's going on. They can't do anything to help. So we'll get that figured out eventually, right?
Yeah. Normally, how many days or how many sessions does it take for somebody to open? For somebody so close, you know, like tight close.
Yeah. Some people, it's taken like 3 or 4 sessions. And some people, like the first session, because I try to be, you know, friendly with them and talk about a couple things. You don't need to go immediately right into the coaching right then and say, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And how's the weather like over there? You know, what did you eat for breakfast this morning? Or I'll say something about what I did or something. That's like, yeah, you know, I don't know what I was doing. I was trying to make these cookies, but it came out really bad. So we'll have to try something else again. Like, oh, this is how you make these cookies. Oh, no, maybe I didn't make it right. Then that makes them feel good. So they gave me advice. They're paying me to give them advice, but then they gave me advice. So it's like, okay,
recipe. Yeah, okay. Cookie recipe.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. So you just got to, you don't want to get too personal too quick with people, but you want to kind of open up and let them know a little bit about you and stuff like that. So then they'll be, okay, then they'll be more comfortable around you. Because if I just sit here and I'm all stern, and okay, what'd you do last night? Okay. Did you do everything on your goal list and stuff? You know, I mean, hey, what's going on, man? How's it going? You know, check out the cool background I got today, and this person's doing this or whatever. Then you make it more comfortable and stuff like that for them.
Yeah, you peel them like onions, one layer at a time.
Yeah, peel the onion. We'll get down all the way to the bottom eventually. Peel the onion.
Yeah, and most of your clients, do they normally have childhood issues or child? I mean, most of the problem are, you know, normally at the present. But when you're going back, does it always relate to somebody? I mean, to something that happened to them in the past?
Usually, it does. They might not even realize it until we start talking about things. Maybe they had siblings who were, you know, more talkative or seen more and stuff like that. Maybe they're always known as, you know, I'm always known as this person's daughter or this person's sister or this person's aunt. And then they have their own identity. So that's like, well, we carve you out your own identity. And now everybody else will be like, oh, you're so-and-so's mom. Cool. You know, yeah, you raised a really cool kid and stuff like that. Thank you very much. I'm glad that you got the kid and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, you're the nephew. Yeah, I heard about you. Yeah, you're a really cool guy and stuff like that. You're the greatest nephew in the world, right? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so kind of flip the script a little bit on them like that, you know?
Yeah, it's really not easy, you know, to come out of one's shell, especially talking to somebody that is a complete stranger. So how do you get your clients? How do you, you know, tell them what you do? And how do you, you know, market yourself as a gratitude coach?
I post a lot on Facebook. I let people know when I go out and talk to them and stuff like that. I'm in different groups, and I'm letting people know that I'm rebranding
groups,
different things and stuff like that. And I, you know, private message people and let them know. I mean, to a point, you got to kind of be careful, because I don't want to be pitching somebody my services, because I don't like people pitching me their services, especially right away. So you got to kind of, you know, get into it and stuff. But sometimes I'll flip the script on people when they send me a friend request and I accept it, and they're immediately going to say, hey, Bonnie, I do this, this, and this. Then I'll come right back with, hey, I'm a mindset and gratitude coach, and I'm a contributing best-selling author and stuff like that. And, you know, you want to buy the book, here's the info and stuff like that. It's like, hey, I don't really want it done to me, but if you do it to me first, then I'm now I haven't always done that. It's kind of say thank you and stuff. But now I'm flipping the script. It's like, hey, you tell me what you do immediately and assuming I'm going to be your client. Well, you don't even know anything about me. Let's just start talking about stuff, you know? Not every person needs to be a client or a sale. Every person's a person, so you really get to know them. But hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're going to immediately start selling me on your stuff or want me to join your group and stuff, it's like, hey, I got my own group here. Or, hey, you know, check this book out. Or, hey, I'm a mindset and gratitude coach. So, you know, you need my help. This is what I can do to help you.
Yeah, of course.
I have the right to sell you all my stuff, right? I haven't used to do that. I'm like, you know, whatever, just whatever people said, it annoyed me. I never said anything. But I've had to have some tough conversation with people and say, hey, when you did this, this is how it made me feel. You know, not laying any blame on anybody, saying you do something like this and piss me off. It's like, hey, when you, these actions that you do, you feel this way. So this is what I work with my clients. It's not how you say it. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. If I say, every time we have a call, you're late, and that messes up my rest of my schedule, do we need to do earlier calls? Something like that. You know, do we need to switch our days? Don't come to me with a problem without having a solution. So, you know, that's kind of like the way I try to help people and stuff like that.
I like that. Don't come to me with a problem that doesn't have any solution.
Right. If you have a problem, give me the solution right away. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
That's right. And what you're doing is actually relationship marketing. It's also what I advise to my clients, because I am also not a fan of, you know, aggressive selling. Because for me, people will really buy if they need something from you and if they see the value that you've given them.
Right. That's very nice. People need to see the value and what you have. And if you can help them get to where they want to be. As like, you know, if I wanted to go to Massachusetts, I wouldn't just start driving. I mean, I could start driving north, but, you know, how far north do I need to go? You know, that's all the up, you know, part of the United States. So it's like, yeah, 95 and go north. But how do I get to I-95 and how far north do I have to go? You need to have a map. And I'm the one that helps you with that map. So where are you right now? Where do you want to be? What time frame do you want to be there? So then we can work together. Because it's not always me, it's other people. And I've done really cool things, and I give my coach credit. She's like, I might have facilitated it, Bonnie, but you were the one that did all the work that got you to that spot. So it's like, yeah. So I was like, you got to give yourself credit. You got to give other people credit. It's like, hey, this is where I was recently, and this is where I am now. That's why I tell people to journal stuff. Write down the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then keep checking and saying a month later, you know, this is how much money I wanted to make, and this is what I made. I made this many new friends, or I lost this amount of weight, or I ate good, you know, 40% of the time, or something like that. And always journal your feelings and everything. And you don't need to tell other people what you're doing. Keep it to yourself. It's good to have a few close friends that you can talk to about certain things. You don't need to be spreading everything all over Facebook and stuff like that, because, you know, people don't need to air your dirty laundry on Facebook. But sometimes you have to kind of say, hey, look, this is what I'm going through right now. It's really bad. I need some advice or something. And then once it gets better, it's like, hey, if you weren't there with me at my lowest, you don't deserve to be there with me at my best. So support me now, and I'm not in a good spot. And then when I'm in a better spot, you can say, hey, I knew when she was like this, and now a couple months later, whatever, she's in this spot. So kudos to her, and kudos for me to being there and supporting, and not just saying, well, you don't deserve me anymore. I'm walking away and leaving you, because I'm like, oh, you won't see me later at my best, and you won't get an autographed book, that's for sure. you won't get an invitation when I'm doing a workshop or something like that, because you aren't respecting me then, so you don't deserve to see me now. It might be harsh to say, but it's true. People sometimes, they only want to be your friend when you're doing good. If you're not doing good, they don't want anything to do with you. They will support me good and bad. If you really were my friend, you'd support me even when, during the bad times, you know?
Yeah, I understand. How important is the support group from a client? Have you ever got a client that really has nobody to support them? Just them and you?
Yep, I've had a client that really didn't have anybody. It was just her. So it was like, you know, I'm not just your coach. I'm your friend too. And you can be assured that I'm going to keep this in confidence. Obviously, they knew that I would talk to my coach in general terms about it. But, you know, in general, it's like, I'm not going to spread your stuff all over Facebook. I might kind of in general say, hey, what would you do if somebody had this thing going on, but kind of change some of the things about it so it's not identified to anybody? Because it's important to practice, you know, discretion and privacy and stuff with people. Because if we had a really good talk, and then, you know, I was upset about something, and then we were crying, I was crying, we had a talk, and then I saw 2 days, I had to call Bonnie the other day, and oh my God, she got mad about somebody did something, and she just, no. I'm like, I don't want to see that on Facebook. I want to, you know, that's my own private thing I'm talking to you about, you know? So it's really good to be very discretionary and private and confidential and say, hey, you know, at the end, when you're in much better shape, we can kind of say a little bit about it, or you can say, hey, if you're the one saying it, that's fine. You know, say, hey, I was over here at this part of time, and then I helped work with Bonnie for 3 months, and then this is what I'm doing right now. It's like, well, cool, because that's, you're the one saying it. You know, it's like, you're the one putting your dirty laundry out. I'm not going to put anybody's dirty laundry out on Facebook. It's up to you to do that, you know?
Yeah, that's right. How do you keep that thin line between being a client, being a coach and being a friend to them? Was there ever a time that you just stopped being a coach and just became a friend, or how do you keep it separate?
You know, sometimes it is kind of hard to keep it separate, and there's times that, you know, you need to be more of a coach and say, okay, I'm your coach right now, and this is what we need to do to get this going. And once we get to this point, we can go back to being a little more friendly and talk about more personal stuff and whatever. But for right now, we need to do this. And if I need to, you know, put my foot up your butt and practice tough love, that's what we're going to have.
Tough love.
Yeah. You know, if I have to do that, this is what we're going to have to do to get you going. And then say, or I'll say, hey, until such and such happens, we're not going to talk about this over here. Like, oh, I got to talk to you about something really crazy or something. Like, okay, so that gives them incentive to really get going on their things, because we can't talk about that. It's like, no, we're not talking about that until you do this, and then they'll get that done, and then we can start talking about that again. So it's like you got to give people incentives and stuff to really get going, because people want to do stuff, but sometimes they just need a real kick in the butt, or they just like, let's try this again. <You know? laughs>
I remember that. I'll go to if I need some butt kicking.
Right. All right. Kicking with people, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think I had this blog before that the title is something about kicking my butt. I have right. to get someone to kick my butt, because not every day that you know when to start, you know, doing something, you know, when to right. take action. And sometimes you really need somebody, you know, a coach, a mentor, a friend to really kick right. your butt, because they know better, because they know right. that you can, even if you feel that you right. can't.
Right. Oh, I just thought of a new hashtag, Graduate Guru Mindset Mentor. I got to write that down and start.
Go ahead.
I'm my mindset mentor. Okay.
Bonnie, is there any other place where they can reach you, or is there any other event or books that you want to promote? Just so, you know, when they listen to this podcast, at least they would know where to reach you.
Just reach me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Bonnie S. Hardy. And they can send me a friend request, tell them they heard me through your podcast or whatever. And they want to have a call. I do mindset makeover calls. Normally they're $197 for an hour, but if somebody contacts me through you, I'll do a 1 hour mindset makeover call for just $97. That would be my offer for your clients. Mindset makeover call for half off of what I normally do.
50% off. Everyone, please go to Bonnie's Facebook and then add her. That's facebook.com/Bonnie S. Hardy. Am I correct?
Yeah, BonnieSHardie, because some people spell their name a little different, but Bonnie Hardy with IE on each, and tell them, send me a friend request, tell them they met me through you, and then they want the mindset makeover, 50% off, 1 hour mindset makeover session for $97.
I like that. Okay, and I'm going to get that link later so that it will be available in the description of this video once this podcast comes out. So, all right, thank you so much, Bonnie. I learned so much about mindset and gratitude coaching right now, and it's been a very refreshing session. You know, it's just like we're just talking, and then we had a very sensible, you know, episode, and I hope that everybody who are listening right now in this podcast and this episode was able to get something out of the conversation that Bonnie and I had. And I hope that you will, of course, listen to us in the next episode, probably next Thursday, for another exciting adventures here at the Passion and Purpose Podcast. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks, Laura. Show. Great being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for listening to the Passion and Purpose Podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring adventures.